And of course, we're living at an exceedingly exciting time. There's no shadow of doubt about that. Look at the chapter that we've got before us just for a moment. In verse 32, it speaks of the fig tree blossoming. That's the nation of Israel. Israel is back in the land. And then Jesus Christ gives to us the rest of this chapter, exhorting us as to what we should do. Now, we're living at times that are like those days. Remember in Daniel chapter 5, Daniel was shown the writing on the wall which indicated that the city of Babylon would very shortly fall, and it fell by the next morning. By the next morning, Babylon had fallen to the Medo-Persians. Overnight, it went. So we're being warned that Christ will return, and he will return suddenly. So what should we be doing? Well, before us in Matthew chapter 24 is the last prophetic words of the Lord Jesus Christ while he was upon this earth. And the overriding exhortation for us in our day is, watch therefore. He says it twice. Watch therefore, for you know not what day your Lord cometh. So we need to be watching. If we go forth to the book of Revelation, the last prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ when he spoke personally in the book of Revelation is Revelation 16 verse 15. And again, he says, just before Armageddon, just before judgment, he says, blessed is he that watcheth. So what should we be doing? Well, the next chapter, we won't turn to it. You know it reasonably well. It'll be on the PowerPoint. It tells us what to do. First of all, it tells us that the wise virgins took oil. So what should we be doing? We should wisely study God's word. We should be students. Students of God's word. Then he goes on to say to us, in the next part of that chapter, he says, you use your talents. Use them wisely. Use your qualities. We should be faithfully using our talents or our qualities in our walk in the truth. And lastly, he says in that chapter, he says that he will come to his brethren and you've got to care for them. So the message that he says is show love one to another. Care towards each other. There is the message that the Lord Jesus Christ gives to us in that last prophetic message. And it's written particularly for those who live after the fig tree blossoms. Jerusalem is in the land. So what should we be doing, my dear brethren and sisters? How should we be walking? What should be our attitude of mind? Well, look at what you're seeing around you and watch. The beginning of this year, it started with the doomsday clock. There it was. And it was reset now to the worst reading in history, closest to doom, midnight, ever seen. And look at the wording that they used. They said, we are living in unprecedented danger, Russia and Ukraine at war and such like, Armageddon on the way. That's not a biblical people speaking. Here's people looking, yes, they knew the words of the Bible, and they picked that up and saying, this is what's coming. Doom is going to come to this world if things do not change. And there is the reading at the start of this year. But further to that, Christ's return is to be at a time of great trouble, brethren and sisters and young people. A time of great trouble. Now, I'm going to go through these quotes quite quickly because I've got quite a lot on here. The quotes will be up on the PowerPoint here, so you'll be able to read them. Daniel chapter 12 ends the book of Daniel, and what does it say? There shall be a time of trouble such as never was, and many shall awake, some to everlasting life. So before us is that prospect that at the last time when things are going very gravely wrong, look out, Christ will come and we could be saved. Christ, in that Olivet prophecy in Luke chapter 21, he says to us, there'll be distress of nations with perplexity. The word perplexity means no way out, no answer. The sea and the waves roaring, symbolic of the nations.
chaos.
Well, what are we seeing today? We're seeing indeed a time of great trouble coming. First of all, in the world around us. Look at these PowerPoints. All of these are within 12 months of now. Going back over 12 months. Britain experienced the hottest weather probably ever. London, 40 degrees centigrade. And they didn't have air conditioners. They were in real trouble. Europe at that time was being devastated by wildfires. In Britain, there was 24,000 fires. And in Europe, well, that's just a depiction of the fires that are across Europe. Why? Because they were experiencing the worst drought in 500 years. It was dry. Caught on fire and burnt. Here was what was happening to much of Europe. So what are we being told? Well, maybe we're being told this. In Luke 17, Jesus said, the day when Lot went out from Sodom, fire destroyed them all. So will it be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And we're seeing on the old scene, chaos and trouble. Here's Australia. Look at it over on the east coast. The floods that took place. We know that. Glenlock got washed away. We couldn't have a Glenlock up at Wakeree last year. Or this year because of the situation. Why was that like that? Well, the situation was they got rain up in Queensland a metre in less than a week in some parts. You think of it. What are we being told? That same quote we talked about before says this, just as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the Son of Man. We are being stirred up, brethren and sisters and young people and friends, to be ready. Christ's return is very near at hand. Here's just a depiction of the same thing. Go back 2 years, there's Britain. The east coast of Britain. Here it is today, or last year. At the same time, the drought hit like that. Here's the rivers in Europe. They're right down so low to one lane where they're usually three lanes in the river. And they're having to unload boats to get over shallow parts. They couldn't get the equipment up. It was really dry. And as well as that, other troubles came in Europe and around the world. Huge earthquake took place in Turkey. We're going to talk about it a little later. Magnitude 7.8 and another one 7.6 was experienced here and felt in Jerusalem. Massive earthquake. Huge damage. 50,000 lost their lives. The moment the army over there is trying to rebuild some of the buildings, trying to recover what they can. They're in desperate plight. Same over in New Zealand. New Zealand experienced the storm called Gabrielle. It came, they were having a homosexual week of parades. And the last one was going to be a big concert. And on that very day, in came a massive storm. The worst disaster, the third worst in New Zealand's history. State of emergency for the half of the top part of North Island. Evacuations on the entire east coast. 11 died, thousands missing, and the consequence was there. There was the flood. Massive. The road from Auckland to Napier was cut by 44 landslides. Here's Auckland, city of Auckland. Flood was incredible. And it goes on. Now, right now, there's fires. Only a little fire, really. You're joking. I am. Here's the fire. The smokes are up in Canada. And look how far it's gone down to. Across the USA. Here's the fires. It's out of control. Australians are flying over there. Firemen to try and control it. They can't put it out. Here's New York. And they are saying to everybody, over 100 million shouldn't go outside their homes. Because of the smoke, it's polluting. So dangerous for them. Stay inside, they're saying. Right across from Canada to USA. Massive. Massive. We're being shown something, brethren and sisters. Our time is super short. Here's another matter. Gigantic solar storm okay, this year. They last year at this time, by this time, they had 40 flares coming out of the sun. Now there's around about 103 that have come out from the sun. Not very few have hit the earth, only about 50. But if one big one hits the earth, the consequences will be it will destroy the internet, they say. And the evidence appears to be true. It's true. Look at this date, today. The sun could reach solar maximum by the end of 2023. They said it's going to be 2025, but it's escalating so fast. They said this year. They're really worried. And here's another heading. Does it mean an internet apocalypse is near, said CBS, only a few days ago. They are extremely concerned that it could knock out the web. What would the world be like? Well, we're looking at a situation that's growing in gravity. But now we're coming a little bit more closer to what the scriptures are saying to us. There will be a world economic collapse. We know that. Because of Isaiah 24, verse 2, I'll read it to you from here. As with the borrower, think about it, so with the seller. As with the lender, so with the borrower. As with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury. All reduced to the same level. Economic collapse. So the rich and the poor are the same. How do we know that's true? How do we know that verse relates to our day? Well, that chapter, I'll come back a moment. Isaiah 24 is cited by Jesus in the Olivet prophecy. We read Matthew 24, but Luke 21, same chat, same prophecy. Five times by Jesus. There it is. Five times Jesus cites from Luke chapter 21 in Isaiah 24, so relates it to our day. And he's citing from the second half of Isaiah 24. Luke 21 or Matthew 24 that relates to our day. So he's telling us clearly this chapter deals with our time. So what are we expecting? Well, there's the chat quote again that we saw before a moment ago. What's that mean? Well, one of our writers, Brother Sully, commenting in the Ezekiel's temple, page 307, said this. It's closing page of that book. All confidence in the money market is gone. All stocks and shares worthless. No banks. And he sees that collapse taking place shortly after Christ returns to the saints. We pray to ourselves, to the believers. So what are we expecting? Economic collapse at Christ's return or shortly after that period is what the scriptures indicates for us. So the situation is very intriguing. Now, here's the debt of USA. It's $31.4 trillion. Here's piles of $100 notes loaded on the back of trucks. Here's the trucks arriving. And if you wanted to see how big their debt is, here's the Statue of Liberty. And if you pile them up, it'll be like this on either side. $1 trillion is banknotes lying like that from here to the moon, here to the sun. One single banknote, so I might not 100 banknotes, $100 ones, single dollar notes from here to the sun. But here it is, another depiction of it. There's the debt of USA at the moment in the American dollar. So what's happening? Countries are getting panicking. 24 countries against the US dollar, they've gone to a new one. They're going to try and get going. The moment they're using the yuan, the Chinese yuan, but it looks like they're going to join. And here's the nations that are pushing for it: Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. There's the word BRICS. A new currency, get away from the American. It's going to collapse. Looks that way. And here's the countries that are joining up or saying they're going to join up. And every day we're hearing of more countries wishing to join up. So things are looking really quite scary, to say the least. Germany, the backbone of the economy of Europe, is now beginning to face recession. Not because of the currency, but because of the way the American the world exchange, the world transactions are going. They are really concerned. And it looks like it's going to spread right through Europe and the world. Well, third point I want to make. Russia will ally with or conquer Europe. We know that, don't we? We know that from Ezekiel 38, verses 2 to 6. Gog of the land of Magog, that's central Europe. The chief, the Hebrew word for chief is Rosh, prince of Meshech and Tubal, with Gomer, France, or Gaul, France, of the north quarters. And Daniel 2 says much the same. The image's legs of iron, his feet part of iron and clay, and of course we know that symbolises Europe. So Europe must be either allied with or conquered by Europe. How it will be accomplished, we're not definitively stated. Our writer, Brother Thomas, back in Eureka, said either one of those ways. He thought conquer first, but he does add it could be by alliance. Well, we'll see what happens. We've got a few things to look at. Remember those terms? I'll go back a second. There they are. And here we are on the map. So there is Gog of the land of Magog, Rosh, Meshach and Tubal. There's the areas. We'll deal with that a little bit more detail for a second in a moment. And of course, the image, the feet, the 10 toes, symbolises the 10 nations of Europe, East and West, that will be united together and come into the land of Israel, as we'll see in a moment. So what do we expect? We expect all of Europe except Britain. And of course, Britain is already broken away. Brexit has taken place. They've moved away. And that's what we've already expected and always thought so. It's been stated in Opus Israel, hasn't it? Well, what's going on? Start of the year, Russia had been fighting in Ukraine. Oh, but called up a few more soldiers. Just the 1.5 million soldiers. In Russia, all people from, I think it's 17 to 25 are in the army. No exemption. No exemption. So a few more were called up, 1.5 million. And so Russia invaded Ukraine and continues to invade Ukraine. We know that that's going to happen because he's Gog of the land of Magog. Magog is central and eastern Europe, including Ukraine. How do we know that? Well, there's that same quote, Son of man, set thy face towards Gog of the land of Magog, prince of Rosh, Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him. Okay? Where is it? Well, Herodotus, writing about the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, the most ancient Greek writer, stated, Scythia or Magog was a name given by the Greeks to an ancient and widely extended people who spread from the river Don westward along the banks of the Danube. So there's the Don and there's the Danube. See, I've highlighted those by the circle, the little map. So where is Magog? There it is. It's that territory. It may not go quite that far west because the rivers don't quite go there, but we cannot be dogmatic. It is that territory, generally speaking. All right? So here's Magog, and here's Russia, the symbol of the bear. Right from 1991, it's lost Ukraine and wants it back. And look at it now. It's trying to gobble it up, isn't it? We're hearing about it all every day. What's going on up there? Going late last year, or early last year, Zelensky then warned when Russia attacked Ukraine, a big war is going to take place in Europe. Well, it may or it may not, as we'll see in a minute. But the whole world is saying this could happen now. Russia wants Europe and is even threatening to use the bomb. They're putting nuclear weapons into Belarus and such like. The consequences would be horrendous. We don't know if it will, but it is indeed scaring Europe. And that's what I think he's trying to do. Scare Europe to submit to them. Just a moment. Right, so let's move. So Europe is worried, already very worried. It will not give full help to Ukraine. It's retaining a lot of its weapons, Oh, yes, it's sending a lot over, it's sending money over and such like, but the best jets don't go to Ukraine. They're not sending troops into Ukraine in big numbers. There might be a few just showing them what to do with their equipment, but not much. They're not sending the European soldiers big time into Europe. The fear of provoking a direct attack with Russia, they do not want. They're afraid. Now, that is behind a lot of what's going on at the moment. So, I want you to see how Europe depends upon Russia. First of all, oil. Let's look at it. The oil supplies, well, Europe gets oil from Turkey, from Norway. But the problem is that those Norway pipelines go through the sea. And the Nordic pipeline got blown up by Russia, they think. So they've been asking NATO forces and their ships to sail continuously along that route to make sure no Russian ships come in. But as well as that, over the last couple of months, the compressors up here aren't working. They're trying to repair them. They don't know why, but they broke down. So the gas coming and oil from Norway is not coming through. The largest gas field in Europe is here. They've been hugely drawing from it last year because they were desperate for gas. And the result was they pulled so much out of the ground, they had 100 earthquakes in that area. 100 earthquakes in that area. And so they stopped now doing so. They're not drawing gas from there. They're not drawing it from Norway. And another big pipeline coming from the Caspian Sea from Baku, you remember Outer Baku? The pipeline goes all the way through to Europe and Germany. But Russia has brought into that area troops. They're only 10 kilometres away from that pipeline. Could cut it in a moment. And similarly, could turn around and move into Turkey, but more on that in a minute. So they put about 2,000 troops there and could easily, in a moment, cut that. And so here we are. They've already cut the Nordic pipeline. The pipeline out of Norway is not working, and the gas coming from Holland isn't coming through, and they could easily cut those pipelines in a moment. And Europe will be in a real serious trouble. See what Putin's up to? Look where his muscle is in that oil and turning the gas off. So, what about Ukraine's infrastructure? Well, Russia's been moving on that. Going back last year, they brought this general up from Syria. Look what they called him. I cannot believe it, but we're seeing that title and those words and words of scripture coming up repeatedly used by the world of the gravity of what they're seeing. Not us, the world. And so he again got drones, and in just a couple of days, he knocked out 1,100 power stations in Ukraine. They were built by Russia many years before. They knew exactly where they were, and they blew them up. The consequence was, have a look at Ukraine. Can you see it? There it is. In the dark. It has been since that time because of that problem. But as well as that, look at the infrastructure. Pipeline, you remember the dam got blown up. Huge dam. They're using it for electricity too. And irrigation. Now it's irrigating in a big way. The buildings are being attacked. And here it is now. Irrigating, sure. Towns downstream, they've had to evacuate them because of the gravity of the amount of water coming through. The infrastructure in Ukraine has been decimated by what's going on. Building after building, destroyed, blown up. Here's an army base, hit, and all the explosives blowing up inside it. Ukraine is suffering terribly at the moment from Russia. But what about food supplies? Well, Ukraine and Russia are huge suppliers of food. Russia and Ukraine supply 28% of the world's exported grain, wheat, 29% barley and so on, hugely. And this war looks like cutting it off. The papers have said The war in Ukraine ravages the world's breadbasket. A calamity looms. Huge problems. And the Africans know it. Just only a couple of days ago, look, June, leaders from all of these countries, South Africa, Zambia, Senegal, Congo, came up and saw Putin and then saw Zelensky and said, stop the war, or the consequence will be 48 million of us could starve to death. The gravity of it is huge. So here we are. And Europe, last year, had a huge problem with food themselves. Are they waking up, showing sympathy to the South Africans and such like, and worried about their own food supplies? I suggest to you, under all of those criteria we looked at, oil, infrastructure, food, Europe is coming under pressure to change the direction it's going. And the Pope is acting on that. The Pope becomes the mother of harlots, and very influential. We know she must be the mother of many. But as well as that, the great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth, she will have influence over the kings of the earth. And what's she doing? The Pope appeals to Putin to stop the war and to Zelensky. Look at the date. The war was underway. And then he sent Macron, who went through a Jesuit school. He wasn't a Jesuit, but he went through a Jesuit school. Macron of France. And sent him over to see the Chinese, to see Chai, and said, listen, you go over and tell Putin to come to his senses. Stop the war. The Chinese president then called for Ukraine peace talks. He went over and said, make a peace talk with Ukraine and Europe. The Pope then contacted Patriarch Kirill, he's the leader of the Russian Orthodox Church, and asked him to become a peacemaker. Look at the date, April this year. And then he was in Hungary and he was saying the same thing, pleading with them to push Ukraine to make peace and Europe to make peace. And now, with the coup taking place up in Russia, days after that coup, Pope Francis sent this cardinal up to Russia, pleading with them to make peace. Broker peace between the warring nations, he was saying. Unite yourself with Ukraine, make peace, and with Europe. Join them. Well, brethren and sisters, there is indeed, young people, what the Pope thinks. Pope Francis says the Vatican is involved in a peace mission to end the war in Ukraine. Francis met with representatives from the pro-Kremlin Russian Orthodox Church. What could be the result of this? Daniel 2. The image could stand. Unity could happen between Europe and the papacy. Not the papacy, Russia. Europe could unite. We know it will. We know it will be united. How it will be accomplished, we're not 100% sure. Time will tell in the very near future. But there's a lot of good reasons for Europe to change. And Ukraine to make peace with Russia. Well, where will Russia go then? Scripture tells us it will move into Turkey. Turkey is weakened. Its economy is in ruins. It's in a terrible weak state. And the scripture tells us the great river Euphrates, Turkey, was dried up. Revelation 16. Daniel 11 says, the king of the north, Russia, shall enter into the countries, Turkey, and into the glorious land, Israel. They will come down. There will be no shadow of a doubt about it. But what's going to happen? Well, look at Turkey now. We're going back a little way, but Turkey turned Hagia Sophia, one of the biggest churches in Turkey, built back about 200 AD. It's been a wonderful church made way back then. And they have turned it into a mosque. And the consequence was, because Russia is Russian Orthodox, Eastern Orthodox, and used to use that somewhat and see that as one of the key centres of their church or their religion. They were furious. They were furious. Ergodin's plan turns to Hagia Sophia in the mosque and sparks anger in Russia. Russia was furious over the consequence of that. So what's the thinking now? Well, quite incredible. They said to Russia, when Erdogan came up to visit him in Moscow, he said, we can arm you. What? Turkey is part of NATO. They can buy their weapons from NATO, from America and such like. But Russia offered it cheaper. Much cheaper. And so here, when he landed back in Turkey, straight away, planes landed loaded with Russian weaponry. Russian weaponry for Turkey. It's part of NATO. NATO's set up to defend against Russia. To defend against Russia. So they contacted him and said, listen, can't you see what they're doing? They're selling you weapons, that's for sure. But every one of them will have a chip in them. So that if you aim them at Russian troops and Russian soldiers, they can switch it off. You'll be defenceless. And he laughed. He said, oh, no, no, no. We haven't seen that chip. We haven't found it. But it's almost certainly going to be the case. So here is Turkey in a very difficult position. Economically weak, opposed by Russia because of religion, and now armed by Russia foolishly. And of course, its back is towards Russia at the moment because many of their troops have gone down into this area to do repairs and help the people there because of the massive earthquake. They're in a very difficult position and could easily be invaded, as we know from Scripture. But look at this. Here's Brother Thomas's words. He said, we have not to wait the advance of the Russian Gog against Constantinople. This will certainly come to pass, but it will all be consequent upon the appearing of Christ in Teman. That is, after Christ comes back to us, the gathering the saints to Sinai. After, then he will move in. That was Brother Thomas's opinion, and he's been so accurate, it's probably right. So we can see the writings on the wall. How long have we got? If the situation gets tidied up with Ukraine and they unite with Europe, they could move into here or move against here. But why would they move south? Well, we'll have a little look in a minute. Russia is already on Israel's border. Oh, are they? Yeah. Putin said quite a while ago, I'm warning there's going to be a big Middle East war. I'm telling you. January 2020. And Moscow then moved into this area here. No, I didn't get it. I had an arrow there, I thought. An arrow showing into that area. They built a big base on the borders of Israel. There's Israel. There's the Sea of Galilee. They built a big base there, 85 kilometres from the border of Israel. And along the Golan Heights, there are the peacekeepers, then the Russian soldiers. Oh, but surely they're occupied in Ukraine. No, they're not. And they're saying almost every day Russian and Syrian planes are flying along the Golan Heights. Every day. And just a little while ago, Assad went up to see Putin and said, can you send us some more weaponry down into there? More Russian army vehicles and tanks and such like. And it came. 24 more two planes arrived. And look what they're doing. Russia ups its dangerous behaviour in Syria with unprofessional flying. Look at the date, only a month or two ago. And it's doing so day by day by day. They were flying over American bases, intimidating them. In Syria, on the borders of Israel. And of course, into that area, Iran has been sending weapons, but they don't seem to last terrible long. Almost every week, Israel flies in, missiles come in, hit it, and here's what's happening to Damascus. Isaiah says, doesn't it, Isaiah 17, a chapter that relates to the time of Christ's return. He says, Damascus shall be a ruinous heap. Does it look a ruinous heap to you? It's becoming so. It's coming, sir. And there is the impact of Israel blowing up those weapons that are brought in to attack Israel all the time. But Israel grows and prospers and dwells confidently. Ezekiel 38 says to us that they will live in unwalled villages. They will dwell confidently. And here's a quote in Ezekiel 37. I'm going a little bit quicker. I'm watching the time. And it says to us that they will come into on every side into the land and will become one nation. And they did. And then, well, we'll come back to that quote in a minute. So today, Israel is a wonder. It is very prosperous. Look, 11 times richer than Egypt. GPS, better than Ukraine. Britain, I mean. Much better than Britain. And they've got a lot of wise people. Nobel Prizes. Highest population of Nobel Prizes in the world. So, what's happening in Israel? People are coming. Russian, Ukrainian Jews are fleeing. Russian Jews are getting out because they don't want to be in the army. And the consequence is, as the scripture says, I will say to the north, give up. Now, no doubt that relates more particularly after Christ's return, but it's already beginning to happen. Out of Russia, Ukraine, they're pouring into the Middle East. The population is growing all the time. And their prosperity is growing. You know, they had the Abraham Alliance of Nations. There's some of them. And the consequence was, within 1 year, their trade with those countries went up by 3 times. The next year, it had gone up by 9 times. Talk about prosperity. They are prospering. And they found the oil fields out there. They found a huge, big oil field. They drilled through it, went through it down a bit further, found another one under it. And just in the last about 2 or 3 months, they found another one in the Olympus area. Huge, big oil fields. And so Israel is now starting to export a little oil. And they're talking about putting a pipeline to Cyprus and backflowing gas into Europe. Because there is a pipeline to Cyprus already. So they could simply backflow it through there. So, what about our confidence? Well, she's built a laser device. She's worried about missiles coming in. This laser device will fire 1 trillion kilowatts. So ask somebody else about what a trillion is. In 1 second, it costs $3 a shot. Okay? And so this is what it does. Boom. It destroys missiles. And not only that, it can destroy aircraft. It's hugely powerful. And it can destroy hypersonic missiles that come in at 5 times the speed of sound. Iran has built them. But Israel has an answer. Talk about confidence. Well, who's going to help Israel? Scripture says Edom, Moab and Ammon with the ships of Tarshish will be in the area of Jordan. Well, the biggest military base in the Middle East for America is here, Qatar. Not anymore. They moved it to there. Because they were worried about troubles with Iran up here. It was too close. They said, we'll get only a little bit of warning. Let's bring it over to Jordan. And it's now in Jordan. Exactly what the scriptures would predict. Now, Israel is in conflict due to the West Bank. Upon the mountains of Israel. Upon the mountains of Israel. Mountains of Israel. They've got to control that area. Now, remember that quote I looked at before? One nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel. Then what's the next quote? One king shall be king to them all. So something leading up to Christ's return is going to happen in the West Bank, the mountains of Israel. Let's have a look. There's the West Bank. Already, 500,000 Jews are living there. Land prices in Israel are high, but in the West Bank, it's 1/3 of what it is anywhere else. So people are going there. And it's such a tiny country, 1/3 of the size of Tasmania, you can drive from the West Bank to Tel Aviv to work. Each day. Lovely, fast highway there. But the problem is this. Israel is officially annexing the West Bank, so they say. And that's very inflammatory. Very inflammatory. But it's not stopping there. Israel, the Prime Minister is playing with fire on the Temple Mount. He's talking about carving up the Temple Mount, half going to Israel, the orange part, or that part there, and the green part to the Arabs. And what are they talking about? Leveling the mosque of Omar and building a temple again. They're only talking that, but they are talking seriously of taking control of that Temple Mount. You imagine how inflammatory that will be. It'll drag the region into a fierce religious war. The Bible says when all of these nations in Daniel's image come down, it'll come down against Israel. They'll be inflamed by the situation. And so, listen to what the other nations are saying. Jordan says it's a massive conflict will come. US warn it's an apartheid act. We don't agree with it. The UN voted against it 98-17. And to kill it all off, the Pope says there'll be a global outcry. So things are looking very grim and very serious, aren't they, brethren and sisters and young people? And on the borders of Israel, in Lebanon, around here in Jordan, the Gaza Strip, in the West Bank area and the Gaza Strip, Iran has been putting missiles. Some of the numbers we don't know. Some articles said anything up to 300,000 in Lebanon, but other articles said 150,000. And the result could be that they would be hit by 4,000 missiles a day, at least. We hope that laser works, don't we? But anyhow, that's what they're worried about at the moment. What about Iran? Well, Iran has got to be allied with Russia, no doubt about it. So the new leader of Iran came into power over a year ago, flew up to see Putin up there, and shortly afterwards, they were getting planes from Iran, from Russia. Planes that they could defend themselves, they say, against Israel if they get attacked. And now look at the date 3 days ago. European nations who've been asked to help with things and have done a bit of guidance said that Iran is only days away for the next nuclear weapon, a trial in Iran of that nuclear weapon to see if it can work. And what are they claiming they can do with it? Well, this is last year. Wipe out New York. Wipe out Tel Aviv, Haifa. Using an ICBM, intercontinental ballistic missile, that can hit any country in the world, goes into orbit and plunges in at 4,000 kph. And so the situation is huge. Tehran forges strong ties with Moscow, and the consequence looks like a nuclear weapon. And the papers are saying if the West doesn't do something, that they'll do so at their peril, but firstly Israel's. So the situation is looking serious. Iran has got missiles. This one, the ICBM, can go into orbit. And that's what they're planning. To hit Israel with those missiles. What is Israel planning? Well, they helped in the war about 3 years ago between Azerbaijan and Armenia. And Azerbaijan got weapons from Israel. So Israel has been given airports in Azerbaijan. So what they're proposing to do is to fly up there, refuel, and then hit Iran. Whether they do it that way, I don't know. But that's what the papers are saying. So the situation is looking precarious. Russia will invade Egypt to take control of Egypt's wealth. The Bible says, the king of the north shall come into the land of Egypt. It shall not escape, but he shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver. That's fascinating. Because in Egypt, there are huge mines, gold mines. One gold mine at the head of a valley is owned by an American, Australian company called Centamin. That company has been bringing out of that area, about 300,000 ounces. In a year, that huge amounts. It's exceedingly rich. It's the richest gold mine owned by Australia. But down the valley are the best licenses, and they're owned by Russia. Russia owns the next three licenses and they're mining it. They're mining it. But as well as that, Russia has brought into Egypt, along the edge as a part of the Suez Canal, they've built an industrial zone. They're trading with Egypt. They're uniting themselves with it. And so they're involving themselves in up to $7 billion trade per year with Russia. So little wonder, this is the leader of Russia, of Egypt there, shaking the hand with Putin. But as well as that, the big oil field off the coast that they found before Israel is now being tapped. And they are sending into Europe LPG, compressed natural gas in bottles, in big ships like that, to Europe. But of course, in Europe, they've got to get it up the rivers to the hinter part of Israel, Europe, by other ships, and they can't because of the drought problems. So Europe's in huge troubles, but that's an aside. Russia must ally with Libya and Ethiopia. We know this quote, don't we? Ezekiel 38 says Ethiopia, which is Sudan and Ethiopia. We'll talk a bit more on that in a second. And Libya with them, with Russia. All of them with shield and helmet. Daniel says the same. Libya and Ethiopia shall be at his steps. So Russia's got to come down, allying with those countries. First of all, Russia has been in Libya for a long time. There's the Russian defence minister. Oh, yes, a couple of years back. But there he is in Libya, shaking the hand with the Libyan prime minister. It hasn't been broken. They're still united. They're still working together. And they've got a strong alliance between Libya and Russia. But now look at Sudan. Where's Sudan? What's Sudan? Well, there it is, south of Egypt. There's Egypt, there's the Red Sea, there's Sudan, there's Ethiopia. Now, the Bible says this, Persia and Ethiopia. Now, the word Ethiopia is not Ethiopia. It's the Hebrew word Cush. Cush. Now, if you look up the word Cush and find out where it is, there it is. Oh, yes, it's in part of Ethiopia and part of Sudan. Sudan. Now, back in times gone by, that name wasn't being used. And so the writers of the King James Version looked up the closest nations to it, and in those days it was Ethiopia. All right? So Ethiopia is going to be allied with them. You know what's happening there? Well, Russia has already built a base here and is hoping to build another one there in the area of Ethiopia or Sudan. Okay, here's the idea of building one here. Why? So then they can close the Suez Canal at the top and the bottom when they're ready. Imagine what that will do to trade and to oil supplies. Well, here's what's going on in Sudan. The Wagner Group is in there, has been fighting in there for quite a few months. People have been fleeing for their lives. Why? Because there's a gold mine there. Here it is. They brought 92 tonnes of gold out of it last year. Not much, eh? Oh, you're not joking. Huge amounts. And they're wishing to build that Red Sea base on the territories of Sudan. All right? And so we're seeing the fighting going on. The Wagner Group is dominant in this area, while the Sudan army is dominant in that area. And there's fighting going on because of these two issues, the gold mine and the port control of the Red Sea, which they want. So why would you do that? Well, Brother Thomas says to us, I've taken this PowerPoint out because I didn't think I'd have time, but let me come back. Yes, we'll use maybe I'll come back too and see if I can get another one. No, I'll come back. That'll do. What Brother Thomas says is the Red Sea and the Persian Gulf will be closed and Britain will have to fight to try and keep it open. Isaiah chapter 18 verse 1 is his basis. He wrote about it in Elpis Israel very shortly. He wrote about it in Exposition of Daniel. He wrote about it in Eureka. He didn't write much on it because he couldn't understand it. Why would they close those waterways? In his days, the only thing they got out of it was donkeys and camels, he says. But now they get oil. One of the major suppliers of oil, Saudi Arabia, brings a pipeline across here, the biggest source of oil, and it goes into the Red Sea. They load it and goes through the Suez Canal into Europe and Britain, and some to America. And same out of the Persian Gulf, Australia gets 82% of its oil out of the Persian Gulf. A couple of years ago, that got closed. And they said to us, within 2 weeks from the last ship arriving here in Australia, within 2 weeks there'll be no cars on the Australian roads. 82% of our oil comes from there. So we'll be hemorrhaging. So what's going to happen? Well, come back to where we were before. Russia's going to come into the Middle East. He shall enter into the glorious land. He shall come into the area of Israel. We can see why. Look at the West Bank. Look at the Temple Mount. Look at what Israel's planning. Look at their utter confidence. If Iran attacks, they might attack them, an ally of Russia's. And so we can see they may well come in with the support of Europe. Because of their religious situation, they will oppose what Israel is doing. And they will come into the Middle East. Daniel's image. Ezekiel 38. And then into that area will come more Western troops. Into the area of Jordan where they are already. Edom, Moab, and the chief of the Ammon. The ships of Tarshish will bring those shipmen in there. But Russia will move on into Egypt. Remember, to the gold. Be allied with Libya and Ethiopia, and then come back to the Battle of Armageddon. And by that time, if Scripture is correct and our interpretation is correct, we'll already be at Sinai. These events may well happen in the 10 years from Christ's return, which could be at any moment, till Armageddon. We're living in critical days, brethren and sisters and young people. We need to be very serious. Here's my closing quotes. Look at this. The Lord's final warning to us, Revelation 2, verse 5. Repent and do the first works, for I will come unto thee quickly. Repent, else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth, and so on. Look at the key point, though. I come quickly. Come quickly. Quickly or suddenly, as the word means. I come quickly or suddenly. 7 times we're told that in Revelation. The perfect number, the covenant number. 7 times I'm told it, you're told it. The time is super, super short. How long is it going to be? We do not know. But we do know this, that from Christ's return, Armageddon could be up to 10 years. A lot of what we're seeing on our PowerPoint could happen after we're taken. So be prepared. Here's our closing quote. And that, knowing the time, we do. We've seen the evidence. That now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Are we sleeping? Are we casual about the truth? Don't be. Truly be wholehearted in all that you're doing. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The days are super short, brethren and sisters and young people. Let us be well prepared. Let us be focusing. Remember, accumulate the oil. Use your talents. Show care and love towards our brethren and sisters. And be together in the kingdom with the Lord Jesus Christ. Immortalized in that wonderful kingdom. Let it happen, my dear brethren and sisters and young people. These things we do pray through Jesus Christ's name.